You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms, including myself as I do them pretty much every week that I can find time. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host who always does the most, Ethan Smith, and welcome back to what is an interesting episode of Locked On Pirates today. As the Pittsburgh Pirates are wrapping up their series against the San Diego Padres, I am actually recording right now while they are finishing this game up. So if I get to the point of where I can recap the game, I will. But the Pirates are down 8-3 right now in the top of the ninth inning. So it looks like they're going to win four out of their last six games. But on today's episode, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things. We're going to talk about why we could see top prospect outfielder Jared Oliva, who had some time last year, be called up sooner rather than later, as we'll talk about that now. We'll talk about why I think the recent streak of games where the Pirates look like they're going to win four out of six, but at least won four out of five, isn't a fluke. And then we're going to preview the weekend series against the Milwaukee Brewers as the Pirates go back to divisional action this weekend. But so why would Jared Oliva be getting called up? That's the biggest question. And before today, when Anthony Alford was hitless, I believe he finally got his first hit today. Friend of the podcast, by the way, we've had him on before. There hasn't been any production out of center field, like, whatsoever in this Pirates, like, lineup. I mean, I feel like some of us listening, some of my listeners and myself, could probably go out there and hit a little better than they are. And Ben Cherington has said, give it some time. It's 2 weeks in, and I can agree with that. I mean, we're only a dozen games into the season with the 13th game wrapping up as of right now. But before today's game, as I'll use stats before today's game, Anthony Alford and Dustin Fowler, who are the primary center fielders that we've seen kind of platoon out in that area, have combined to hit 109 in 46 at-bats to begin the year. To give you kind of like a range of how bad that is right now for how it looks, I mean, it already is bad, but that's lower than the combined batting average of the starting pitchers on the team. So JT Brubaker's two hits that he had against Chicago already are like better than Dustin Fowler and Anthony Alford have done so far. So I mean, realistically too, when you look at that, that 109 average before today was 5-for-46, and all five of those hits came from Dustin Fowler. Anthony Alford was hitless before today's game. And, I mean, he didn't record a hit in his first 19 at-bats. He did draw a couple walks and a hit by pitch, though. And, I mean, you remember last year with Alford, and you remember when we talked about it on the podcast, as he felt really good going into this year. And, I mean, last year he was 3-for-12 with a triple and a home run in five games before that elbow surgery. He just hasn't looked right now, and that's understandable. I mean, it happens. But we'll see if they can pick it up over the next couple games. And, I mean, Fowler and Alford just really also are still pretty new. I mean, they're both former top prospects, especially Fowler, who was a top 100 prospect back when he was in Oakland and New York. But, I mean, the two have not even played 100 career games between each other. And Cherington also had this to say: we've got young players out there who are getting a chance to play at the major league level for the first time with any level of consistency, and there's an adjustment period. He's not wrong. But when you look at the expectations for this team, it would be very surprising right now that if this continues to see Alford or Dustin Fowler on the Pittsburgh Pirates after this year. And, I mean, you look at what they have on the 26-man roster as of right now that could be placed out there. I don't think Phillip Evans could play the position. You could always flirt with the idea of playing Brian Reynolds in center field again, where he used to play, and then putting Phillip Evans in left and Polanco in right. Wilmer Defoe has also taken reps in center field as well, and he actually started in center field on Tuesday, so that's another option. But it's very difficult to start two guys who are hitting almost below 100 when it comes to it, And I mean, yeah, it's obviously a cause for concern, but Brian Goodwin is another name that I've kind of like thrown out there that for me, I'm surprised he already wasn't on the 26-man roster to begin with, but I'm also not because of the like expectations this team has with having young players. But he does have the most experience in center field. And Alford and Fowler are indeed out of options for minor league options, which is why they're there. So for anybody that might not know, if a player runs out of his minor league options and you send him down again, he is exposed to waivers, which means another team can pick him up and bring them to their roster. Which, I mean, at this point, would Fowler or Alford get acquired by anyone? Probably not. But, I mean, you still don't want to really take the chance when both Fowler and Alford are still kind of pretty young players that are just now getting their, like, most consistent major league at-bats and appearances. And then Charrington again had this to say, I think they'll probably mostly come down to what the total group looks like and what the total alignment is and what makes sense as far as giving our team the best chance to win on a particular night and getting guys into the lineup. And the reason I brought up Jared Oliva's name is because on Thursday, so on like today, Jared Oliva was moved to the alternate trading site from Bradenton. The alternate trading site is in Pittsburgh. And Cole Tucker was also down there as well, and I believe he's staying down there for skill development, which I'm very happy about. I want Cole Tucker to get a lot of development outside of having to play at the major league level. And, I mean, if Oliva does come up, I won't be mad. I'd actually be ecstatic because it would be the first call-up of the year. And he's going to be on the taxi squad, meaning he will travel around with the team. And, you know, for Jared Oliva, you have to consider that last year, he did get some opportunities. He did. He got some opportunities last year. He was not very great. Like, we're not going to act like he was some, like, ridiculous player or some ridiculous prospect. But, I mean, the kid's already 25. And, I mean, he has a 188 average in his career. But, I mean, in spring training, he hit 120, but he only had 25 at-bats, which isn't a ton. And then you look at what he's done elsewhere. His best year probably came in 2019 when he was in Altoona, when he had a 277 average and 6 home runs and 42 RBIs. So, again, if you bring up Oliva, I still don't think Oliva would be your straight-up starter. I think it would be a platoon deal again. You would just have to really debate on who you want to move down. Do you want to move down, move along away from Alford, or do you want to move away from someone else? That's just kind of how it is. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting decision. I don't think you want to expose Fowler or Alford to waivers just because they are still very young players and you don't want to lose either of them. But I don't know what the Pirates are going to do. I don't really know. And as you mentioned, or as I mentioned earlier, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms, including the rooms that I do every week. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com for all of your car part needs and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when we come back, I will explain why everything going on in the Pirates' recent stretch of games where they've won 4 out of 5, but probably now 4 out of 6, isn't a fluke based on how they've been playing, and I'll be right back. You tune into this podcast every day to hear everything about the Pittsburgh Pirates that I have to offer, but do you need to know about what else is going on in sports? Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts like myself. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to Locked On Pirates, everybody. I hope you're all having a wonderful Thursday, April 15th, as the Pittsburgh Pirates appear to be dropping the final game of the series to the San Diego Padres. But before today, they won 4 out of 5. And some people are like, okay, maybe it's just luck. Maybe it's this and that. But Dejan Kovacevic, I think he really put it right when he said it, and I agree with him, and I'm going to give my takes on it. I don't think it was a fluke. I think the Pirates over these last 5 games deserve to win 4 of those games. And I don't think their recent run of things over most of the start of the season has been bad. And one of the big reasons why is the bullpen. And before today's action, and I think they have only allowed one run since, the Pirates bullpen had 11 consecutive scoreless innings before today's game. That is the most and the longest active streak in baseball. That's pretty impressive for what most people consider to be one of the worst pitching staffs in all of baseball. And 11 consecutive scoreless innings is also nothing to shy away about. But one thing that does need to happen is we do need to be getting more quality starts from our starters, because eventually your bullpen is going to get tired. They're going to get hurt if they pitch that much, and it's going to cause problems. But another thing is you have to look at some of the pitchers that the Pittsburgh Pirates have beaten this year. Let's take, for example, opening day. The Cubs threw Kyle Hendricks, their best pitcher, on the mound on opening day. The Pirates chased him pretty quick and won that game. The Pirates have also beaten Albert Alzoloy. They've also beaten Blake Snell. They didn't even let Blake Snell pitch one inning yesterday. Like, not even, or 2 days ago. They beat a guy in Joe Musgrove who is a former Pirate who was coming back to Pittsburgh for his first game against his former team, who also pitched a no-hitter the start before. They chased him off the mound too. The Pirates are beating good pitchers. Now, albeit that Cincinnati Reds series puts a lot of stock into a lot of different things right now because the numbers were just so ridiculous, but the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't exactly losing games that are crazy. And the Pirates did lose 8-3 today against Chris Paddock. But you also have to keep in mind they are pretty much in a good way of being competitive in every single game. And you really have to consider this too. So I'll be previewing the series against the Brewers in the next segment. But they're only 3 games behind the Brewers, or 2.5 games behind the Brewers. Who do they face this weekend? Adrian Hauser tomorrow. They face Brett Anderson Saturday. And then they face Freddy Peralta on Sunday. Those are pretty good pitchers, but if the Pirates' offense can keep doing what it's doing and you can get good starts from your starting pitchers in those games, the Pirates could cement themselves in the NL Central conversation at the beginning of the year. I mean, before today, they were 2 games out of first place. This team is doing good, and another thing with it, too, is the patience that this team is having at the plate. They are walking a lot. Yeah, they're getting hit by pitches, too, but they're getting on base. And Adam Frazier right now is actually one of the best players in baseball with runners in scoring position. And I've said this all year that the Pirates can keep scoring runs with runners in scoring position. They're going to win a lot more games than people think. And I'm going to also say it again, this team is not losing 100 times. If you predicted that the Pittsburgh Pirates will lose more than 100 games, it's not going to happen. This team is going to win at least 65 games. I have it firm in my heart that they can do it. They've already split. They're already 3-3 against the Chicago Cubs. They're 2-2 against the San Diego Padres. They haven't won a game against Cincinnati, but that's it. They've only faced the Reds, the Cubs, and the Padres, but the Cubs and the Padres and the Reds are not bad teams. And they're splitting right now against the Padres, who are a team that people are talking about beating the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NL West this year when Tatis gets healthy. And the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds are firm in the conversation of winning the NL Central. I don't think the Cubs or the Reds do it. I think it's either Milwaukee or St. Louis, especially Milwaukee. I think the Pirates face their toughest test this weekend against the Brewers. Arguably, I mean, the Padres is a very tough test as well, but I think in division, the Brewers are the toughest matchup for the Pittsburgh Pirates due to their strong pitching staff. But the Pittsburgh Pirates have already proven that, yeah, this team isn't meant to win, but they're going to win some games you don't expect them to. Who really went into this series against San Diego and expected the Pirates to potentially win this series with a win today and win 3 out of 4? They won 2 out of 2. But who even expected them to win one, or who even expected them to win one of those games against Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, and Chris Paddock? That's a gauntlet of really good starting pitchers, and they ran 2 of them off the mound pretty quickly in Blake Snell and Joe Musgrove. This Pirates team is very fun to watch. I hope people understand that. They're 5-8. A lot of people probably would have expected 2-13 by now. Or 2-whatever their record would be, 2-11. A lot of people did not expect this team to get off to even a decent start, especially after they started 1-6. They've won 4 out of their last 6 games. If they go into Milwaukee and win 2 out of 3, this team's 7-9. Like, they would be flirting with 500 going into a series against a Detroit Tigers team that started the year pretty well. But the Detroit Tigers are also on kind of the same talent and skill level as the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. That'll be a fun series to watch. And if the Pirates, again, if they can go into Milwaukee and find a way to leave with 2 out of 3 games, not even a sweep, that'd be huge for them. And it's very possible if, again, if you get some quality starts from your starting pitchers, so like 5 innings pitched, maybe 1 or 2 earned runs, and you also hit the baseball against good pitching. But they've done both. If you really want to be honest, the only positions that have not, or the only players that have not hit the ball well for the Pittsburgh Pirates thus far, are the center fielders Anthony Alford and Dustin Fowler. Kevin Newman has fallen off a cliff after spring training. Gregor Polanco finally had a home run, but he's just not hitting the baseball well either. But everybody else is hitting the baseball well. Eric Gonzalez leads the team in RBIs. Phillip Evans has cemented himself as a strong utility player. Colin Moran and Brian Reynolds and Adam Frazier have hit the ball well. And Jacob Stallings is hitting over 300. Like, this team is hitting the ball pretty well right now. They're playing good offensive baseball. And they're not going to hit a lot of home runs, but they're still going to score runs if they get runners on base like they have by getting on base and being patient. And one thing I took from that Joe Musgrove start is they kept taking first pitch strikes to drive his pitch count up to get him off the mound, which it worked. And if the Pirates can continue to be this consistent with that kind of stuff, they could be in a lot more games than people expect. Again, now I'm not saying this team is going to be a playoff team. Do not let anyone lie to you and say that this team has potential to be in the playoffs. If they do it, I will donate $50 to whatever charity you guys choose. But this team has the potential, again, as I mentioned to Lucas Smith in our division crossover episode the day before opening day, to be the reason why St. Louis, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, or Chicago don't win the division. I also don't think the Pirates are going to have the number one pick next year. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in baseball. And that's just where I'm at right now. That's how I view it. That's how I look at it. I think there's other teams right now that are worse than the Pittsburgh Pirates, just based on play. Not on paper, on play. And again, another strange realization to people, not saying this is going to happen, but if the Pittsburgh Pirates somehow go into Milwaukee and get a sweep, they're 500. They would be a 500 baseball team with 3 wins in their next 3 games. It's kind of insane. But again, even if they're 2 out of 3, they'd be 7-9. They'd be flirting with 500. Who would have thought that the Pittsburgh Pirates would even be 5-8 to this point? Not a lot of people. And this is kind of like a rant for me, because I get kind of upset when people say this team is going to be the worst team ever, because this team has talent on it. Colin Moran's a talented first baseman and a good power hitter. Brian Reynolds could be one of the most consistent hitters in all of baseball. Phillip Evans is a very solid player. He's picking it up. And to even make things better, and I've said this before, they're doing all this without arguably their best player in Key Brian Hayes. They're also doing this without Steven Brault, who's one of their better starters. When he comes back, I guarantee you they're going to get better starts. He's not going to be back for a while, but I think they get better starts. The bullpen's also playing well without a guy like Blake Cederlund, who had a pretty good 2020 and a good 2019, and he's out with Tommy John surgery. But Ben Cherington's constructed a bullpen in Chris Stratton, Dwayne Underwood, Luis Oviedo, David Bednar, Richard Rodriguez, and Michael Feliz. It's actually been pretty solid. 11 scoreless innings before today. That's insane. And that was against the San Diego Padres, one of the best offensive teams in baseball. Watch out, baseball fans, especially if you're not a Pirates fan and you're listening right now. This Pirates team, it might not be great, but they have a grit factor about them that is kind of insane. Like, they do. They're not just going to lay down and lose. And that's why I've always said, if you could bet on the the over or the under on their wins, bet the over because it's probably like 63.5, and I think the Pirates win more games than that, and you should check that out at betonline.ag. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKED15 for your 50% welcome bonus, meaning they will give you money for putting money into your account with your first deposit, and let them know the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when we come back, we will be previewing the weekend series against the division rival Milwaukee Brewers, and I will be right back. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Thursday, April 15th episode of Locked On Pirates. As the Pirates fell to the San Diego Padres today, winning four out of their last six and splitting the series with the San Diego Padres in an 8-3 loss. Of course, the Mitch Keller part of things did not look too great, but we'll see how that transpires and how that goes. But as far as the Pittsburgh Pirates heading into this series against the Milwaukee Brewers, the Brewers, much like the Pittsburgh Pirates, have won four out of their last six. They beat the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cubs before that in series, winning two out of three in all of them. So they've kind of already cemented themselves as a top candidate in the NL Central so far. We'll see how it goes for Pittsburgh. I mean, this is the fourth straight series now for the Milwaukee Brewers against an NL Central opponent. You look at who they have lost to. They did lose to Trevor Williams. They also lost to Gallegos of the St. Louis Cardinals. And then they also lost a close one to Chicago on Tuesday. The Brewers were off today after a 7-0 win with Corbin Burns getting a very big shutout victory against Jake Arrieta, who the Pirates, of course, can never seem to figure out. But you look at who's on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. As I mentioned earlier, the Brewers will be pitching Hauser, Anderson, and Peralta. The Pittsburgh Pirates will be playing JT Brubaker, Trevor Cahill, and Chad Kuhl in that order for these Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matchups. And for this series, I mean, you kind of look at the Milwaukee Brewers right now. It seems like Christian Yelich is going to be coming back into his own. Travis Shaw is currently the batting average leader as well as the home run and RBI leader for the Milwaukee Brewers. Omar Narvaez is the hits leader with 12. Jackie Bradley Jr. was an acquisition. He has not looked too great so far. Keston Hiura also has not looked great. Luis Urias has not looked very fabulous either. But Christian Yelich, 333, no home runs, one RBI, and 30 at-bats so far. Omar Narvaez has a 414 average in 29 at-bats, but they give the batting average to Travis Shaw, who's played 11 games. Colton Wong, we all know Colton Wong is a thorn in the side of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So again, going into this series, I think like what I mentioned earlier is if you wanted to go into Milwaukee and win this series, so winning two out of three games, I think you're really going to need Brubaker, Cahill, and Kuhl to have very solid starts. And so far, this isn't a team in Milwaukee that's particularly hitting the baseball well with a combined 204 average and a 299 on base percentage. So they're not exactly hitting the baseball like really well so far. But you also have to consider that this Milwaukee team is one of the best teams when it comes to pitching. Like, pitching is where you really have to be very worried for the Pirates in this series. Corbin Burns, for example, 18 1/3 innings pitched, one win, one loss. He's only given up four hits in 18 innings and one earned run. That's going to be interesting. The Pirates, he's a relief pitcher, so they will likely see him. He also leads the Milwaukee Brewers in strikeouts with 30, and he has a .49 ERA. Brandon Woodruff, who we will not see in this series, is one of their top pitchers as well. But Freddy Peralta, another solid pitcher, leading the team in wins, has 13 innings pitched, only 5 hits given up, 24 strikeouts to 9 walks. The thing with Corbin Burns as well, he has yet to walk a batter this year. So Freddy Peralta is going to be a very interesting player to see as well. Adrian Houser, on the other hand, he has two earned runs, 10 hits over 10 innings pitched, and 7 strikeouts. And then the rest of it, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how it ends up going for him. Brett Anderson has 10 innings pitched, 5 earned runs. Freddy Peralta, again, who we'll see, will also be in there as well. And they are not particularly bad at walking batters, which is something the Pirates have done well. Freddy Peralta has the most walks on the Milwaukee Brewers with 9. They have 120 strikeouts to 41 bases on balls. But I still think the Pirates can be patient at the plate. They can find a way to get ahead against these against the Brewers. But the one thing that's always strange about the Brewers is they have a very solid pitching staff and a bullpen-wise. So it's always kind of the old adage is if you want to get the starting pitcher out and then go to the bullpen's going to be weaker. Not with the Milwaukee Brewers. They have a very strong pitching staff all around. But again, if the Pittsburgh Pirates can get after them really quickly, which is very possible, they've proven they can do it against pretty much anyone, I think they have a real shot at winning this series. But we'll see how it transpires. I mean, again, if I'm Ben Cherington, I'm spitting it out. That if you can sweep Milwaukee, you would be 8-8 and be tied with Milwaukee in record going into like the next series. I would be instilling that in my players' heads. Get their confidence up, let things happen, and we'll see how it goes. Tomorrow, I will, of course, probably be previewing Game 1 and talking about some other Pirates news, but make sure you check me out at Locked On Pirates on Twitter or my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan for all of your Pirates news. I, of course, will be doing my podcast all season, Monday through Friday, and probably sprinkling in a weekend episode, maybe this weekend or next. Just be on the lookout for it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you on the flip side tomorrow. Thank you so much.